It's time once again for Triple OG Stories. Let's get to it. Welcome back to episode 2 of Freeze, a story of revenge. Let's get ready for this ride. Enjoy yourself. I know a whole bunch of motherfuckers that's prepared to woo. Leave a body bloody red to scoop, popping off lead balloon. Shot the pussy up from head to boo. Just for talking dramatic when it was static, you was scared to shoot. Police prepared to swoop to catch a nigga up the wrong way, but don't none stay for the white shower. If you aired out the tip, watch your lip because hype's talk. If you wasn't seen, then you might walk. Even if it ain't the time of day, these niggas will find a way like logos off of no dose. Posing as hobos, taking photos of the shots, how we freeze. They don't give a fuck if it was DT. They be up like a sea breeze on CCs, and they're handing out these murders like free cheese. Could you pass me the beat, please? I got intricate shit to kick, even though I don't campaign with a gang. I've been in there with different denominations and nations, and embracing everyone because I'm slang in the slang. If you can hang in my town, up in K-Town, if you dissing them, then you dissing me. Niggas acting like they glad to die, so if you had to try, if they faded you, it wouldn't mean shit to me. Just a
buzzsaw. Denise was lying on the bed, staring at the ceiling while John rolled up a blunt. She had already started to feel the three gummy edibles that she had taken. I mean, she just wanted to get a good night's sleep, to be honest. It had been 15 years since she was a part of a job that John and his crew did and asked her to be their driver. To this day, she was still having nightmares about the things she seen that day. She knew she was considered an accessory to that crime. And her being behind the wheel that evening, she felt just as responsible.
John, I've been having those nightmares again.
Oh, shit. Here you go.
Come on, stop acting like you so damn tough all the time. We kill people, man. And that shit comes back to haunt me sometimes.
Well, first off, you ain't do shit but drive. So stop it. And they knew how the game worked. They didn't do what they were supposed to, so they got dealt with.
So what about the little girl that was in her car? Where do you think she ended up?
Foster care, the system, jail. Who knows? Who cares? We didn't hurt her. She lived through it all.
I don't like that answer. I don't like that answer at all, cornbread.
John turned around and looked over at Denise. She had gotten up and was grabbing the comforter off the bed, and she had her pillow in her arms.
Girl, what the hell is wrong with you tonight?
Denise walked out of the bedroom and went into the living room. She moved around in the dark for a few seconds until she made her way to the couch. As she sat on the couch, she felt like something wasn't right. She felt like something or someone was watching her, like it was something in the room with her. She hurried and turned the lamp on the table. When she did, everything looked normal. She felt like she was just tripping, and maybe the edibles was kicking in a little too hard. When John finally walked into the living room, he seen her on the couch. She was knocked out. The TV and the little light on the table was on. He walked over to her, and she was snoring slightly. John stared at Denise for a few minutes. Then he quickly turned back around and was staring directly into the lamp on the table. The bright light made his eyes start to burn. He quickly turned off the light, and then he turned back around to go into the bedroom. As he rubbed his eyes for a second or two, they started to finally start to adjust to the darkness so he could see. When he moved his hands and started to walk, he glanced over at the window and thought he seen a figure with horns on its head. But he wasn't really sure. He would have sworn that he seen something staring right back at him through that window. He stood there feeling kind of unsure and just shook his head back and forth. He closed and then opened his eyes again. This time, when he looked, there was nothing there. He stood there for a few more seconds just staring at the window and seeing nothing at all. So he just thought to himself maybe he was just really high and tripping. John headed on off to his bedroom. When he laid down, he turned his TV on. He thought about getting up and turning the alarm system on, but he started watching something on Netflix, and before he knew it, he had ended up dozing off. About an hour had passed, and Denise had finally moved around again. She was lying on her side and had her face towards the back of the couch. She stretched her arms out and yawned a little bit, but that's when she felt her hand brush up against something hard and cold. She turned over, and she couldn't really see much. It was complete darkness in front of her. Something was in her living room. It was standing directly in front of her. It was blocking the light in front of the TV, too. She tried to scream, but it placed a towel over her mouth as she felt a sharp, sharp sting slide into the side of her neck. Her eyes started to flutter, and her breathing slowed all the way down. Denise had passed out. When she finally woke up again, she felt a real sharp pain in her chest and all in the side of her face. It was like it was on fire. She reached up and felt the front of her shirt. It was soaked. She looked around and noticed it was dark in the room, so she reached over to the table and she found the lamp and turned it on. It lit up the living room all over again. As she sat there, she realized the wetness that she was feeling on the front of her shirt was actually blood. She hopped up off the couch and ran into the bathroom. She turned on the light, and that's when she noticed all the buttons on the front of her shirt were gone. She yanked her shirt off and looked into the mirror. She had the words, "You're next," cut into her chest and stomach. She instantly started to cry. As tears ran down her face, she felt a sharp, sharp burning sensation and looked into the mirror once again. That's when she seen the letters DLC carved into the middle of her left cheek. She screamed and ran out of the bathroom. She ran into the bedroom and pushed the door open and into the wall. That's when John, he jumped up out of his sleep. He leaped up off the bed and grabbed her arms to try to calm her down. He looked at her, and a cold chill started to run down his back and through his entire body.
Oh, shit. What happened to you? Damn, baby. Oh, what the fuck happened?
I don't know, John. I need to go to the hospital.
John walked over to the closet and started to get dressed. He took the sheets off the bed, and he wrapped her up in them as she lifted her arms to help keep the bleeding down some. John seen all the blood and almost lost his footing. The last thing he had ever wanted to see was his wife suffer like she was right at that moment. He ran to the kitchen and opened the door that led into the garage. Denise, she was right behind him in tons of pain, but trying to stay calm. They got into the car and John sped off and headed to the hospital. John pulled up to the hospital and parked in the emergency parking for the police and EMTs. He had his badge hanging around his neck, and he also had Denise's hanging there too. He walked in and he grabbed a wheelchair right out of the front by the doors. A few of the nurses that were standing outside smoking cigarettes stopped and seen what he was doing. They instantly ran over so they could help him. He lifted Denise out of the back seat of the SUV and he placed her in the wheelchair. One of the nurses jumped behind the chair and started to push her into the ER. John yelled that she's an officer for the Dickinson Police Department and she needed help. They all jumped into action. Denise laid on the stretcher and closed her eyes. She was in so much pain that she was borderline in shock at this point. Her mind was all over the place. And not only that, her edibles were starting to finally wear off.
Just hold on, baby. Just hold on. They gonna take good care of you.
Denise gripped his hand and then passed out from the pain. As her arm fell to the side of the stretcher, she let go of John's hand. Now, his fear was turning into rage. As the ICU doors closed, he stood there looking at the doors slide back together and close all the way up. He had just married her 2 years ago. Denise loved her husband, and she really wanted him to clean up all the skeletons he had in his closet. She knew that John used to be in the streets tough. Hell, she was right there with him. She was one of the Lady Crips that was running with the Crip gang he was in. But now, at 43 years old, she just wanted a peace of mind. She wanted to be happy. She had 2 miscarriages and lost both her babies, one at 4 months and then the other one a little over 6 months while she was pregnant both times. She always saw it as karma for being with John and being a part of the dirt that he did in the past. The next morning, Sergeant Johnson sat at her desk. She was wondering where her partner was. It wasn't like her to be late to work. But since she didn't see Lieutenant Korn there either, she figured her girl was probably just sleeping in a little bit that day. She grabbed her jacket and headed out to go grab some coffee and a sandwich. As she left, she seen Unique walking towards her patrol car. She called her name and asked her if she wanted to go grab some food with her.
Officer Kraft, hey Unique.
She turned around and smiled at Monica. Then she started to walk back towards her as they met up right in front of the squad cars on the parking lot.
What's up, Sarge? How you doing this morning? Did you get you some last night?
No, I didn't get me none last night. I wish I did, though. You want to ride with me to grab some coffee?
Yep. I was about to do that anyway. I don't start my shift for another hour.
The ladies hopped in the car and headed off to the Stop and Shop about 3 miles away from the precinct.
So, Unique, where are you from? I know you live here now, but where did you grow up at?
I'm from Florida. I came up here to visit a friend about 2 years ago, and then seeing that they needed police, it seemed like a fun job at the time, so I joined the academy.
Wow. It must be nice to have control over your life and can just move when you want to.
Well, my parents were all for me helping people and saving people's lives if I ever had a chance to, so here I am.
Well, I'm sure they're proud of you.
Who knows? They did. Anyway, I'm out here fighting crime to make them proud of me, I guess.
Johnson looked over at her. She felt like that was a real strange thing to say, but she never judged people. She just thought to herself,
if her parents are dead and she's young as she looks, then she probably done been through some shit.
Monica's phone started to ring. When she answered it, she was in shock. A tear started to fall down her cheek. Unique looked over at her as she stepped on the gas and sped off the gas station parking lot and headed towards the hospital. About 6 hours had passed since John had got any word on his wife. He was about to go to the nurse's station when the doctor finally came into the waiting room and gave John the good news. He told him that she had suffered a head injury and the lacerations on the front of her torso would heal, but they would leave an ugly scar with the words, "You're next," healed into her skin forever. The doctor went over a few more things as they talked. As John shook the doctor's hand and thanked him, Monica and Unique came bursting into the door. She ran up to John and hugged him tightly. John hugged her back and started to rub her back in a soft, slow motion. Monica pulled away as Unique had a crazy look on her face. As she stood there, she heard that voice in her head again.
Damn, is he fucking her too? That looked like some side bitch shit to me.
Unique just shook her head slightly to make the voice go away and walked up to John. She looked at him and placed her hands in her pockets.
Is Sarge gonna be okay? What happened to her?
Yeah, John. What happened to my partner? Dispatch said she got cut.
I'm not really sure what happened, to be honest. We were at home chilling. Then she started tripping off some stuff that happened in our past and she went to sleep on the couch. Shit, I went to check on her, but she was already asleep. So I went on to bed. Next thing I know, she was back in the bedroom crying and bleeding and stuff. I mean, hell, she woke me up out of my sleep.
And you didn't notice anything different last night when you went back to bed?
Monica and John both looked over at Unique like she shouldn't be talking. She just smiled and walked over to Denise and looked at her. She looked back up and over at Monica and John, and they were having an intense conversation about cops getting killed. Denise was still under sedation, and she was out of it. Unique just rubbed her hair and looked at the white bandage on her cheek. The blood stains on it still showed the letters DLC.
This bitch is fucked up. Do you see those letters on her face? She's gonna need a makeover.
Stop it. Be quiet. She gotta be in all kinds of pain.
Yeah, you would know.
As Unique fought with her thoughts, Monica could hear her mumbling about pain or something like that. So she walked over to her.
Yeah, I'm sure she's in pain, but my girl a soldier. She gonna come back out of this stronger than ever.
Unique just stood there smiling. She shook her head in agreement and turned and walked out of the hospital room. John sat down on a chair next to Denise and grabbed her by her hand. Monica said her goodbyes and then walked out of the room. As she turned the corner, Unique was standing there with the creepiest smile on her face, just looking at her. She took her hand and threw her braids out of her face and walked out the doors. Monica stood there and took everything in. She wasn't really sure about Unique at that moment. She was actually creeping her the hell out, to be honest. They both got into Sergeant Johnson's SUV and then headed back to the precinct. Monica was in deep thought as she drove. Unique was looking out of the passenger side window when she looked over at Monica and she asked her,
Sarge, are you ready to die?
Monica froze. She had a look of discomfort on her face. She looked over at Unique, who had the biggest smile that she could have ever mustered up, and was just looking right back at her.
I mean, if it all came down to it, and you had to lay it all on the line, would you be ready to die?
Monica wasn't sure what to say. She wasn't sure how to react. She just thought about what she had been through in her entire life, her time in the Air Force, and all the times that she had to lay it all on the line. She looked over at Unique and took a deep breath.
Yes, Unique. Yes, I am. And I would die for what I believe in.
Unique just smiled as Sergeant Johnson pulled back up into her parking space on the police lot. As they got out of the car, Monica looked over at Unique and smiled.
Did I pass your little test?
Not yet, Sarge. Not yet.
As she walked towards her car, there was a man in the distance, standing next to the statue of the city's founders, just snapping tons of pictures of Unique. She got into her car and she put her seatbelt on. As she started her car, he stopped taking pictures and put his camera down. He placed it back into his bag and he watched her as she drove off.
Ah, man, what the hell? Who is this creepy ass dude taking pictures of Unique, man? Oh, hey, but hey, something really going on there, man. And Unique and her little subconscious is really figuring some things out, because I don't know what's really popping with John and Monique, man. I mean, I'm sorry, Monica. Yeah, I don't know, bro. Hey. Hey, it is what it is, man. It's your big homie, Bobby Dollars, and I want to thank y'all again for checking out another episode of Triple OG Stories. Hey, be on the lookout for episode 3 of Freeze. It's coming at you real fast, man. And, hey, this has been another segment of The Bobby Dollars Show.